If you think it looks paid, chances are Google is going to think it's paid as well.
Niche on how you market and the type of law you practice.
That's kind of like where I think link building is kind of shifting. All this cool new information for PI lawyers especially.
Welcome to Personal Injury Mastermind. I'm your host, Chris Dreyer, founder and CEO of Rankings.io, the preeminent personal injury marketing agency. Before we get started, if you like what you hear, head on over to Apple or Spotify and pound that 5-star review button. And if you don't like what you hear, tell me about it in a 1-star review. I got a big hug for all my haters too. Each week we talk to the best in the legal industry. Ready to dominate your market? Let's go. If you want to get to that number one spot on Google, you need backlinks. A backlink is simply when a website hyperlinks to your website. Every quality backlink is an upvote that can help boost your ranking. If you're thinking that you can go out and snag all the links out there, hang on, don't flip off this episode just yet. Notice the keyword here, quality. There's a saying that goes, you become like the people you spend the most time with. This is true for websites too. If your firm's page is featured on quality sites, you look really good to Google. Google will want its users to see your site because it assumes you're providing relevant information. But when garbage websites link to you over and over again, Google will assume that your site is also garbage and is more likely to throw you in the trash, aka bury you way down in the search results. You might be thinking, okay, Chris, but what is a good backlink? And what is a bad one? And how the heck do I know which ones are linking to my site? First of all, don't panic. To explain all of this, I caught up with Kat Taylor, the Senior Link Building Manager here at Rankings. We've got you covered. In today's episode, we break down good links, toxic links, and the truth about disavow files. She also explains how attorneys can be proactive about getting those great links and how to hold an SEO agency accountable. Here's Kat Taylor, Senior Link Building Manager at Rankings, explaining what she knows best, links.
Links are basically, you're building your site's authority by reaching out to other authoritative websites in your industry, in your niche, and having them link and basically pass that link equity to your website, thus enhancing your site's authority. And I would love to jump into a quick analogy if you'll allow me to
hear. Oh yeah, let's do it.
I love analogy. Okay. So the way I kind of liken link building is training a horse. Okay, I have horses. So bear with me here. So the horse is Google. You are your website, all right? In the world, if you take a wild horse, you're going to fall off. What I say is to get to ride that horse, to get to win those gold medals, you have to train it over the period of time so that it respects you, so that it looks at you as an authority. It's the same kind of concept when it comes to link building. You can't have a new site and then say, hey, I'm going to go to, you know, joeyjoejimson.com link and buy 1,000 random links, possibly PBMs. You don't even know what you're buying. Buy 1,000 links and just send them all to my website and I'm going to rank. No, what you're going to do is you're going to spook Google the horse, right? So you're going to get bucked off and your website is going to be left in the dust. Well, all your competitors who've done it the right way and have slowly over the course of time looked at the relevancy of the sites that are linking to them and the traffic and all that. And so they're the guys that are going to end up winning those horse competitions and you're going to be stuck in the mud.
Winning the Derby. So Cat out of the gate is going to be competing with Steven for best analogy. Steven, if you're listening. And that is definitely a unique one that I've never heard as it relates to Google, but I love it. I want to kick it back, though. I want to learn more about you. How did you get into digital marketing? When did you become obsessed with link building? Take us back to those days.
This is a treat. So I worked for a vacation property website and I was in the ownership transfer department. And then the company decided to kind of get out of that part of the business. And they asked me like, hey, you did a really good job. What do you want to do next? It's 06, 07. This is when SEO was really getting exciting. And we had our own in-house team and all of my friends were kind of in there and they used to crank out Daft Punk on Fridays. And it was just a cool team. Like everyone in there was really excited about SEO. I knew nothing. I've always been a kind of a promoter personality. It's like, man, like marketing seems awesome and SEO is like kind of where it's at right now. I really want to go in there. So they kind of threw me into the wolves a bunch of coworkers, and they were all very supportive, and they wanted to teach me kind of what they knew. And we were all kind of learning together, like a ragtag team of kids. And, you know, I used to listen to Matt Cutts and Rand Fishkin's Whiteboard Fridays. I don't know if you remember those. So, yeah, I was very self-taught. I did copywriting. I did a lot of on-site stuff. I used to refer to myself as the SEO blob because I was just kind of trying to take it all in. And then I decided, you know, I started doing a little bit of dabbling with link building. And I was like, man, this is really exciting. Like talking to other webmasters, kind of like promoting our website to them, like the outreach, the prospecting, learning Google search operators and like finding new opportunities that way. I was like, I need to do it. It's exciting. You can see the progress, you know, the links that you build. You can see it effectively helping your site over the course of a year. And, you know, so yeah, it was very exciting.
You know, Kat, I don't know how many people listening are excited about Boolean operators and search operators, but for those of you that are, Kat's the first to talk to.
Yes.
We went right to the deep end. And I know you had, so you kind of transitioned, you went to an agency that specialized in link building. And tell me about that experience.
So it's a completely different world from in-house to agency life. So in-house, first of all, in-house is more expensive. So I know there's a lot of probably lawyers out there that have considered doing an in-house project because you have more, I guess, sway and you can do more things
by control.
Control, exactly. However, you're looking at $1 million a month operation because you've got all of these salaries that you have to pay. And then, you know, it's a lot of strategy and it's a lot of you kind of having to do a lot of the groundwork yourself. Agencies often, because I get in there and I'm able to kind of just focus on link building, but then also you've got a variety of different businesses that you're working for. So it's exciting because every single business has a different landscape in SEO. And so your competitors might be different over here. Your geo might be more competitive. So if you're in Austin, it might be more competitive than, say, an Overo Beach or something like that. So I thought it was actually more of an exciting challenge because every single day you've got a new type of organization to kind of figure out a strategy for from the beginning to the end, as opposed to in-house, where you have one strategy, you kind of tweak it a little bit here and there, but it's one website that you're solely focused on. And so I actually think agency life is more fun.
So when you worked for this other link building agency, so you had all a variety of industries and strategies and just different link opportunities. And then you came to work for us and it's, you know, 99% of our clients are personal injury. We kind of early on like what a link is, but what in your definition, because Google doesn't really define this in detail, what makes a good link?
So I like to say link building is an art. So A, authority, right? And I'll get into each one. Authority, R, relevance, T, traffic. So authority, you want to look for a site that's been around for a while. Something that I call crusty. You know, I think Google puts a lot of authority into sites that have been around for longer than 3 years. They're there because they're a real website as opposed to I'm a website so that I can link to you and whatever. And so I think it looks at that and then it also looks at the referring domains that website has as well. So if this site has, you know, hundreds of domain ratings of DR50 and up, it's looking at the authority of the referring domain. So you want to make sure that the backlink you're obtaining is from a website that has its own authority. And then relevance, I honestly think is the most important. So if you know, you're a PI lawyer, right? And car accidents are kind of usually the highest level bread and butter type of PI there is. So you want to kind of look for a motor vehicle blog, like something that's really talking about that industry and also has referring domains that are relevant to that site as well. So you want to look at that. And then also, you know, health sites, lifestyle sites, those types of websites are kind of what a PI injury lawyer, obviously legal is the top one. So those are the kind of sites that a PI lawyer kind of want to look at. And then for traffic, I always say a real website has at least 1,000 in monthly organic traffic. Anything below that is probably a newer site. You know, it hasn't built that traction up yet. And I think Google looks at the traffic as like it's an authority signal. And so it looks to see to make sure the sites that you're getting on they've got good traffic.
I'll kind of give you my own analysis here. So authority, that first on the A, we'll use your art description here. So the A, this is one that can be manipulated a lot with expired domains and people just cranking no follow links at a site. And So if you look at it just alone, it may not be a good indication. You got to kind of look at all three of these. It's like a Venn diagram where it all kind of fits in the middle. And then you've got relevancy. So if the site doesn't, there's not a natural reason for it to link to your attorney website, then you shouldn't receive that link. And also Google's not going to trust it. For example, these news sites that just take any type of content, a lot of times Google doesn't favor those. Now there's definitely exceptions to that, like these giant editorials, like your Forbes. And then traffic. The reason I like traffic is because if the site has traffic, then Google favors it to some degree. They could have a super high DR, but they don't have any traffic, it's not gonna be a good link. So I'm with you on all of those. I think a lot of times other SEO specialists, when they're dealing with their clients, will just say, hey, we got a DR50 link. Okay, well, let me see the content. Oh, well, why is it linking to me? The content's terrible. Or, oh, the site doesn't have any traffic. And these are some of the things that you got to look at.
It's really easy, too. You take a website, go to their About Us page. If they don't have an About Us page, you probably want to move on anyway. You want to make sure that the site is trying to build an authority or leaning into what their index is trying to rank for. So if it's like car blog and you go to their About Us page and it's like poorly written, grammatically incorrect, and they're not really talking about anything having to do with motor vehicles, and it's just like SEO, lifestyle blog, whatever, that's kind of a red flag to me. So I think that's an easy thing for someone to do if they're trying to figure out the relevancy, obviously the domain name, and look at the majority of the posts and pages on that site, but also look at their About Us page.
I think too, when you go to a site and you're choosing if you're going to try to obtain a link from this, if you're doing like the manual efforts, it's like, are they curating their site? Is there a curation process? Because, you know, from what I've seen, and you could speak to this too, the better sites, they have an extreme editorial review process. They don't just let anybody post to them. You have to have great content. You have to go through this editorial process. So to me, a lot of times that's a red flag.
Yeah. And like I always say, I want to work with sites similar to my site. So I'm not linking out to everybody. You know, the personal injury lawyers that are listening to this, they're not linking out to everybody. So you kind of want to work with a site that cares as much about the quality of their site as you do.
To recap, good links have art. That's authority, relevancy, and traffic. And at the other end of the spectrum, we have toxic links. Kat breaks down what they are and how to avoid them.
So my opinion of a toxic link, there's a bunch of the things. An exact match, which is a keyword that you're trying to rank for. So we'll say car accident lawyer. Exact match, site-wide link, which means it appears on every single page of a website in a sidebar. Now, you don't see this too often. So an exact match link, that clearly looks like spam. That to me is a toxic, or if it's in the footer and you just see like you're looking down and it's just a random exact match link, like go over here for car accident attorneys. Why is that there? If not to spam Google. So hidden text, there are people out there that will just hide your anchor text in a bunch of content. So like you can't even see it, but it's there. That's sketchy. And then also, this is one that I think a lot of people probably don't think about, but I think it's more toxic as we move forward in SEO. Our press release link, I think obviously it's fine. Like Mueller even came out and said, you know, we ignore these because we know they're paid. However, if you do a press release and you riddle it with a bunch of links, it's not just like a branded link, you know, talking about your firm, that's fine. But if it's just like car accident attorney, personal injury attorney, you know, geo-modified Houston personal injury lawyer covered in links, that actually could end up hurting you because it's now a press release. You know, Google already knows those are paid and you're just spouting those out across the search engine result pages. So I think those could possibly potentially be toxic as well. And then, yeah, for the disavow, so what disavow basically is you can use Google Search Console or use another tool. You can use SEMrush, Ahrefs to kind of populate what they think is a toxic link. And then you can basically create a CSV file from that research. And then you can send it to Google and say, hey, can you neutralize it? I don't personally believe anyone really needs to do that unless you received a manual penalty from Google. If you haven't and you're kind of worried, you know, your traffic's dipping or whatever, I don't think it's because of the links that you find in a disavow file. So, and what I would say is, I think Google is neutralizing those links naturally anyway, or they're ignoring them. So you don't really need to send that file to them.
I think John Mueller's been really public about this. And this is why I get really frustrated, because a lot of these SEO specialists are going to email a client, prospect them, and say, oh, your links are spam. That's why you're not ranking. No, it's actually Google algorithmically ignores those and are not passing authority. They just need better links. And one of the first things that we do, and there's some really prominent agencies that do this, is they'll upload a disavow file. One of the first things that we do, oh, there's no manual penalty. We go delete that file, because we let Google determine what a good link is. If someone's linking to the site, we're not going to just automatically shut down these links. So I think that's a big, big no-no. I think a lot of people do it. Let's talk about what attorneys can do. A lot of the attorneys listening, it's very common for us when we speak to them, they're like, yeah, you're building all these links. We're happy with the links we're receiving, but I've got this free time and I want to contribute. What can I do as an attorney to go build links myself?
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times, you know, people forget the impact of local link building. And that's something that's really easy for any lawyer to really do. You can go out and look for, you know, business associations in your area. The Chamber of Commerce is. Search operators are amazing to use for this. And we can always go into another podcast discussing those. But yeah, just kind of do local outreach to the websites in your geo that have their own authority. And those are great sites for not only helping Google understand that you're an authority in that geo, but also you can get natural referrals from those sites as well. And obviously traffic going to your site is always a good thing for SEO, and for referrals are great. Who doesn't want those? And a lot of those are going to give you a lot of referrals, because they're going to get a lot of people going to those sites to find information locally.
Yeah, and I would say that in some specific examples here, FindLaw, and then recently Justia has really popped up in the search results. Now, sometimes those links are nofollow, and that's a whole different discussion. They don't pass equity. In some areas, they don't pass any authority, right? They don't rank. They're not in those top results. But in other situations, they can rank. You can get some referrals. We've seen Justia move up. And those, even if they do have the nofollow, and that's a whole different discussion, it could be a good signal for Google. I know that there are some people that just ostracize FindLaw and just talk negatively about FindLaw, Justia, or even Avvo. But in some markets, in some practice areas, those are good. Tell me about Help a Reporter Out. Maybe that's an action that attorneys could use.
Oh, yeah. So Help a Reporter Out is basically a site that has all these journalists going to it, and they're writing a story, right? And so they're like, this is my story. And you can get an email that sends to you every single day with all these different inquiries about stories that all these journalists from different online publications are working on, and they need help. And they typically will link back to you once they quote you in the articles. And so it's a free thing to do. Go on to haro.com, sign up for the free emails. You can choose, I want business inquiries only or legal inquiries, and choose the ones that are most suitable for your website's niche. I think there might be an MV motor vehicle one as well. There's a health one, I know that. And then, yeah, each day you'll get auto emails, and it's almost like the reporters are coming to you. And so then you can choose the ones that you want to kind of reach out to and get a quote for yourself in there and get a link back to your site. And they're usually really good publications as well. That was awesome.
Yeah, we've got links from American Express. We've got them from Reader's Digest, and using this tactic so that there can be exceptional links. You got to be interesting, though. You got to have something noteworthy to be included. In addition to Harrow, one of the things I've noticed is just having awareness of the importance of links. It's just so incredible. And what I mean by that is, imagine you want a new vehicle, you want a new Bronco, you want a new Range Rover, and then you start to see them on the road all the time. You're aware of them. And it's the same thing. I like to say this with link building is, you may have already had these opportunities. Maybe you're already mentioned in the news, and all you have to do is just ask and be aware of those opportunities. Maybe you're sponsoring an event. Sometimes they have a sponsorship page, a local fundraiser. Those opportunities are around you. You just got to see them.
So I am going to say something. Okay, yes. Unlinked mentions are amazing. Yes, I wish I said that earlier. Unlinked mentions amazing too. You know, they're gonna link to you. I've done it often for some of our clients. I'm like, hey, you're mentioned. Let's get that link. And it's so easy to do. Anything that could be thought of as paid to Google, Google is going to ignore. So those sponsors, if anything that says, here are our sponsors, just be aware that it's almost the same thing as a nofollow attribute being added to it. It's going to get ignored. But if you think that you might get some referral traffic from it, totally do that. I mean, I'm not saying don't do a sponsored page, but always be aware that if you think it looks paid, chances are Google is going to say think it's paid as well. So what you're trying to do is get natural recommendations from authority websites. And so when Google sees you have all of these natural recommendations, then you're authoritative. Whereas if you only built backlinks that were on sponsored pages or things like that, chances are that's not going to help you as much, but you might get referral traffic.
You can go out and get links by providing value to external media hubs that will link to you as a source. In addition, check out Help a Reporter Out and also look for associations in your local market. You can also attract links to you. Kat has done an amazing job leveraging original studies and using them for link attraction.
I'm super excited about this because I think it's kind of where link building is going. It's more of a digital PR situation. Because you want to curate your own data that's not found everywhere else online. People are typically just scraping their information from FTC and things like that. Where you can go out and create your own data that hasn't been seen anywhere else, where basically other reporters can, if they're looking to source somebody and they Google it and you're the only real result that has that data, you're always going to be used. And so that's a lot of natural link building that's just going to happen. And so what I do is I kind of brainstorm, you know, I'll take a topic, again, I'm going to use car accident, bring that topic in, kind of create a web, figure out, okay, what are all the different reasons a car accident? So distracted driving, drinking, driving, all that. So just create an entire web of it all and then try to figure out what hasn't been discussed, right? So you kind of Google all these different topics that kind of come from that. Once you figure out your main topic, use an outside party like SurveyMonkey, get them to basically do the survey for you. And then you kind of create this nice piece of optimized a data point, essentially, that has bullets that's easy for a journalist to be like, ooh, information, percentages, really easy and digestible. And so that's kind of like where I think link building is kind of shifting, all this cool new information for PI lawyers especially. So I'm excited about that.
If your website has content that can be cited, the journal, and it's easy for them, they're going to incorporate it into their content and then give you that link back to your site. And we've done this tactic through, you know, motorcycle accident statistics or truck accident statistics. And there's a number of tactics that we've used. But you do have to do the outreach. You do have to promote it and get those keywords to rank to make it more discoverable. And so that's a huge tactic. We've even went through the Department of Transportation and they have all this data, but a lot of times it just hasn't been cleaned up and it's a few years behind, and they'll give us the raw data and then we can kind of deconstruct it into our own assets. We've done accident maps. We've done everything of that nature. Let's just talk about another tactic that is played out. Let's talk about scholarship campaigns. I wrote an article in Moz, which is a big SEO publication, in 2015 that kind of detailed this strategy.
I read it.
Tell me, you know, why is this played out? And why do attorneys and law firms just keep doing it?
Well, because of you. They all read that article back then too, most likely. And honestly, it worked out really well back then. It really did. Because Dottie, I remember back in my day, we actually would get paid bonuses if we were able to attract a .edu. It was a big deal because it's a harder TLD or top level to get. Much like a .gov, like it's harder. The links that are harder to get are the links that are going to really propel your site forward, right? So it was an amazing tactic. It worked so well because it kind of fooled Google, right? But then Google kind of caught on because everyone did it. And then Google was like, hey, let's ignore these because, you know, it's clear that people are spending all this money to create a scholarship just to get that backlink. And so it tweaked their algorithm. So that way it's like, okay.
Yeah, I think to kind of give you a little background, the audience a background, it's basically what the tactic entailed from the basics is you'd create a scholarship for $1,000 to $10,000. And then what you would do is you'd put that landing page on your website and then you would reach out to financial aid departments at these universities to get them to include your scholarship on their website. And it was very effective. And back in the day, when we started doing this, there might be 5 or 10 people on that financial aid page, 5 or 10 scholarships. Now there's thousands. So not only is there dilution, it's just oversaturated. The other thing too, I think there's a lot of scenarios here, right? So you can say it's not binary. It's not yes or no. You could put out a legit scholarship that's goodwill for the consumer, for your local market, a legit one, and do it right with goodwill, grassroots marketing, you know, good digital PR. Be selective on which universities you talk to and only do the premier universities, maybe even the only the extreme relevant ones. And I think it might still be beneficial. But if you do the just standard page up $1,000 scholarship and you spray it out to 10,000 universities, it's just not going to work.
Yeah. And also, I think universities are starting to catch on as well. And I've noticed that a lot of them are kind of kicking these links out to third party. So it's like scholarshipsrs.com. That's where your scholarship's going to end up living, as opposed to getting that nice juicy.edu link that, you know, really worked well back in the day. So I think that, you know, moving forward, eventually it's going to kind of die out. But yeah, I think, you know, the local colleges around you, why not? It's great. It makes you look good, you know, goodwill to the local community. I think that's fantastic. But as far as the .edu.
Let me give you another scenario. So this is what happens frequently. When a client with an attorney is working with an agency, their agency is telling them, hey, we're link building, right? You can see it in air quotes. And I've even heard some of the big agencies say, oh, well, this is our proprietary tactics on how we acquire links. You know, there's a couple big ones, prominent ones that say this, and it drives me nuts. How do you hold your agency accountable? How do you really know if they are building links? Even if they're not giving you a report, what are some tactics you can take to hold them accountable to determine if they're actually doing link building properly?
I would definitely invest in an Ahrefs account, because you can kind of go in there and view the referring domains coming through. If they're not sending you reports, which they should be sending you reports, they should be sending you monthly reports on what they're doing. So yeah, log into your Ahrefs account, look at the referring domains in the last month or so, and see what new ones are coming through. Link building shouldn't take more than 45 days to start getting the links coming through. There's a lot of prospecting, there's a lot of outreach, there's, you know, writing the content. But that typically doesn't take 2 months. You know, if you are working with somebody, they should be like, hey, we're going to send you these monthly reports. So that's number one. If you see that your DR is kind of just sitting there, you know, you're getting all these referring domains, but nothing's really happening, and you're not seeing those referring domains coming in, chances are a lot of the sites that they're building links on aren't even getting indexed or taking a long time, or they're just building the same or building a bunch of links on the same domain, and that never gets counted. So you're going to get one referring domain for 7 referring backlinks on that same site. So you're only going to get it counted once. So if you end up working with this company and they're building 30 links on 2 websites, you're going to get 2 links out of that. So just make sure that you tell them to send you reports and that you're kind of checking in on Ahrefs every once in a while as well, is what I would recommend.
Yeah, I had an actual example literally yesterday where I had a prospect. I looked at their link profile and they had a decent amount of links. They had 500 referring domains. Referring domain is a website linking to them. But when I dug in and I looked at their link profile, about 450 of them had less than a DR10, and there were only, I think, 50 sites that had over 1,000 organic traffic. And it was just clear, it was like a vanity number that they had 500, but in actuality, they only maybe had 50 plus solid links. So, but when you do a competitor analysis and you look at your competitors in your markets, you say, hey, well, I've got 500 referring domains and, you know, they have 300, I should be beating them. But it's not just quantity, it's quality too. So I highly recommend buying a tool. Look, it's less than $100 a month.
Yeah.
The fee, ahrefs.com, that can hold your digital agency accountable, because you can see the content that goes on your website, right? There's typically some type of editorial process there, but a lot of times your agency is going to air quote and tell you they're link building when they're not, or the quality of their links aren't just up to the standards of Google standards. I'd say those are a couple big ones. The other thing is how many links does a firm need? Like what's the question here? When you're going to benchmark and you have certain goals as a firm, I can hear Guy Sakalakis from Attorney Sink saying, go get as many as you can because they're just fantastic endorsements. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what's your thoughts here?
I think it really depends on the competitive landscape. And it depends on how old your site is as well. You're a brand new website in, you know, a hyper-competitive landscape. You don't want a bunch of referring domains right off the bat if you're brand new. You kind of want to have a slower ramp up. The quality is more important than trying to focus on how many I have to get right away. And as you get, and as your site becomes older and more authoritative, then you can kind of build a lot more at that point because it makes more sense that an older site that already has authority is going to be getting all these natural backlinks, like tons of them each month, as opposed to if you're brand new, your domain rating of 2. It doesn't make any sense that all of a sudden all these entities are going to start linking to you because you're an authority. You're not yet. So I really think it depends on
right.
the stage of your website and how competitive it is in your area and your niche. And then eventually, yes, I think volume and quality should go together. There isn't one that's better than the other. There's been a huge link builder debate since the beginning of my time. If there's, you know, the volume camp and then the quality camp. I think it's both. And I think it depends on where you are.
Yeah, it's if Google looked at your link profile, why are these spikes? That's unnatural versus a natural progression. But it could look at a spike and it's an indication that they need to research. And maybe you did create an amazing linkable asset. And maybe that's not unnatural. But if you do it too frequently or if you're using brokers, which we're very against, is buying links. Those get you in all kinds of trouble because of PBNs. Private blog networks, and just being in bad neighborhoods with high spam ratio scores. So you just want to avoid that. You want to do natural outreach. You need to build relationships with webmasters, go through their editorial review process, and create content that you would want on your website. Don't shortcut it, because if the content's not getting crawled, it's not getting served up to Google, and Google doesn't favor it, well, then it's probably not going to pass much authority. So all those factors come into play. How can people get in touch with you? And just any final thoughts?
I did want to kind of talk about the most recent spam update with Google. A lot of people were worried about it. I know I kind of talked about it earlier, but I kind of just want to underline, don't sweat it, everybody. unless you got that manual penalty from Google and something's kind of askew, do not worry, because what it is essentially doing is disavowing junky scraper links for you. In my opinion, it's kind of cleansing your site of anything kind of spammy. All you have to do really moving forward is be intentional with your link building and just, you know, replace anything that was neutralized by the spam update by something that's weighty and authoritative and super relevant. And I promise you, you know, you're going to be fine. And then if anyone wants to contact me for all of your link building needs, my email address is kat@rankings.io. And K-A-T, not C-A-T. And yeah, I would love to talk to anybody. If anyone has any questions about, you know, Google search operators, I love talking about that. And just strategies in general, I'm always loving talking about link building. So I welcome it.
Thanks so much to Kat Taylor for everything she shared today. Let's hit the pinpoints. Pinpoint number one, when it comes to links, you have to know what to look for. Good links have authority, relevancy, and traffic, or ART for short.
So authority, you want to look for a site that's been around for a while, right? Something that I call crusty. I think Google puts a lot of authority into sites that have been around for longer than 3 years. And then relevance, I honestly think is the most important. You know, you're a PI lawyer. So you want to kind of look for motor vehicle blog, like something that's really talking about that industry. And also has referring domains that are relevant to that site as well. And then for traffic, I always say a real website has at least 1,000 in monthly organic traffic. Anything below that is probably a newer site, really hasn't built that traction up yet. And I think Google looks at the traffic as an authority signal. And so it looks to see to make sure the sites that you're getting on are getting good traffic.
And pinpoint number two, what can attorneys do to help build links for their firm? Go out and get them. Provide value to the media. Start with sites like Help a Reporter Out. Give quotes and your insights. This is a great way to contribute and boost your authority as a thought leader.
Do local outreach to the websites in your geo that have their own authority. And those are great sites for not only helping Google understand that you're an authority in that geo, but also you can get natural referrals from those sites as well.
And pinpoint number three, make sure the SEO agency you hire is doing the job you pay them to do. How can you hold them accountable for link building? Ask for reports and ask how the links are being acquired. If they come back saying things like, "This is our proprietary technique," red flag, that's a bunch of garbage. You can do a little verification on your own too. Buy tools to scrape your site and evaluate if you're getting links. We like Ahrefs or SEMrush.
Look at the referring domains in the last month or so and see what new ones are coming through. Link building shouldn't take more than 45 days to start getting the links coming through. There's a lot of prospecting, there's a lot of outreach, there's, you know, writing the content, but that typically doesn't take too much.
I'm Chris Schreier. Thanks for listening to Personal Injury Mastermind. If you made it this far, it's time to pay the tax. No, I'm not talking about taking your cash like Big G. I'm asking you for a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. Leave me a review and I'll forever be grateful. If this is your first episode, welcome and thanks for hanging out. Come back for fresh interviews where you can hear from those making it rain. Catch you next time. I'm out.